had a lot of trouble deciding which readings to use, as all three, the Old Testament, the Gospel, and the letter, connect very strongly, and they're consistent in showing Jesus predicted, Jesus fulfilling the prophecy, and life in him after his physical death. But after two readings, people start daydreaming, so I did two. And now I'll do the third one. So I'll read the six verses of Jeremiah, but let's try and hear it as if it's being said today, in today's context. Woe to the shepherds who are destroying and scattering the sheep of my pasture, declares the Lord. Therefore, this is what the Lord, the God of Israel, says to the shepherds who tend my people. Because you have scattered my flock and driven them away and have not bestowed care on them, I will bestow punishment on you for the evil you have done, declares the Lord. I myself will gather the remnant of my flock out of all of the countries where I have driven them and bring them back to their pasture, where they will be fruitful and increase in number. I will place shepherds over them who will tend them, and they will no longer be afraid or terrified, nor will any be missing, declares the Lord. And then 5 and 6. The days are coming, declares the Lord, when I will raise up for David a righteous branch, a king who will reign wisely and do what is just and right in the land. In his days, Judah will be saved and Israel will live in safety. This is the name which he will be called, the Lord, our righteous Saviour. I found three main points to observe in this reading that are still pretty relevant to us today. God denounces wicked shepherds, and the leaders refer to both kings and priests, ministers and all those who have power. Two, that God promises to gather his own flock, the faithful ones. He'll bring them to him and supply shepherds who will look after them. And three, God promises to raise a new king from the line of David who will reign wisely and justly. This king will be called the Lord our righteousness. The prophecy points directly to Jesus Christ, written roughly 600 years prior, offering a message of hope in the face of corrupt leadership, both when this was written and just as much today. And this led us to the gospel reading, where we find Jesus dying in the most painful, humiliating, and devastating way that you could dream up, in front of the very people that he exposed and challenged. And they were just sneering and shouting comments at him. Mortifying. The soldiers who first mocked him and then didn't give a hoot, passing the time gambling for his possessions like he was already dead. And perhaps the worst thing, in front of his mother and his closest friends, possibly one of the worst scenarios for an undeserved death. Now, either side of him were two criminals, real criminals, not petty thieves. See, the cross was special, and I mean that in a bad way. It was reserved for deaths of notable enemies, enemies of the Roman Empire. So not just anyone got crucifixion. So these guys were special. They were probably pretty hard nuts. They were hardcore agitators. They could be zealots, but they were certainly enemies of Rome. And it made me wonder a little bit about their story up to this point. They must have known something about Jesus. I mean, just the previous week in Jerusalem was pretty full on. There was powerful preaching and proclamations and challenges. One of them, at least, chose to reach out and ask to be included in Jesus' kingdom. I note, the criminal stated that he deserved his punishment before asking. And Jesus, on hearing this open-hearted confession, granted him that he would join him in paradise. So in the middle of all of this pain and humiliation, in what is just one of the most horrible deaths you could imagine, what does Jesus say? Father, forgive them. That was the punch. That was the knockout blow. The key. So what does this say about the coming reign of Christ, I wonder? So when we're all gathered into the arms of God and enjoying a kingdom of peace and justice, what will be required from us? Jesus showed us that in the middle of the worst adversity, he chose not to retaliate. And he prayed. Not just any prayer, but a prayer for forgiveness for the very ones that tortured and betrayed him into that moment. So we learn from the Messiah himself that a gold standard of the kingdom of Christ is genuine and unequivocal forgiveness for all our tormentors. No matter what the circumstances, no matter what the cost, that forgiveness leads to peace. And I'll read two verses out of our Colossians reading. For God was pleased to have all his fullness dwell in him, and through him to reconcile all things to himself, whether things on earth or things in heaven, by making peace through his blood shed on the cross. In our Colossians reading, Paul affirms Jesus' supreme role in our redemption and inclusion in the kingdom, that we are strengthened by Jesus himself and encouraged to have patience and to endure to grow the kingdom. The Sunday of the reign of Christ, or Christ the King, invites us to ask a few questions of ourselves. Like, it's not just that we wait, but how do we wait? Or since waiting is living, or living is waiting, the real question for us today is, how shall we live day by day while we wait? Do we wait with joy? How can we help? Questions like that. But while we wait and think about that, we can hold on to this. Christ was predicted. He came and fulfilled the grisly task involved to save us. He continues to strengthen us and feed us to grow the kingdom further. We hold on to that promise. And we can start doing it now by joining in singing, Shout to the Lord.